Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Islanders Anxiety, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me this evening via Skype is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, the Islanders are finally going to play again, and we know who they're going to play. It's the Carolina Hurricanes, who beat the Capitals in double overtime in their Game 7 and took a plane right to Brooklyn, where the Islanders are waiting for them and have been waiting, feels like, forever. And so we have to actually play this second round as opposed to just kind of sitting around being in the second round. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah, it was both really long and kind of like annoying, but at the same time, like too quick. And I kind of wish we had a couple more weeks off or something. But the annoying part was just like the fact that, you know, these media outlets kind of budget out time and resources to cover playoffs, and they don't expect a 9-day layoff. So there's only so many stories I could read about whether or not the Islanders are going to stay in a hotel and, you know, how they're, staying.
Dude, there was a story about the Islanders' feelings on the Islanders logo. Like, that is the point where we got where, like, they ran out of stuff to ask. And I was like, really? We're doing this now during the playoffs? Jeez. But
yeah, it's right. Yeah, I love the crew over at Newsday. I think that they're very Long Island in like their coverage, which, and it like kind of reflects the team and like Neil Best especially. So it was like funny at first, and then I was just like, I just kind of need them to start playing soon.
Yeah, I got a little meta today. I forget what story I read, but Barry Trotz is basically like, yeah, it's a little tired being asked the same questions every day and giving you the same answer every day. But you know, now we can finally play, and he's obviously doesn't have to worry about the island, the Caps having to get through the fucking island because they lost. And now it's the Carolina Hurricanes, which, you know, there's a lot of similarities, I feel like, between the two teams. Not so much like in their play style, which we'll talk about a little bit more, but just kind of in their existence a little bit. Like, these are both kind of like teams that are often, I think, forgotten by a large part.
Yeah, they always end up
on
the empty seats Twitter. If there's an empty seats Twitter where the Islanders and Hurricanes are like the poster childs of it.
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah, the Islanders, Hurricanes, Panthers, and Coyotes. That's the four. That's like the Mount Rushmore of the empty seats Twitter account right there. The two of them playing in the playoffs right now. But yeah, they're always on like relocation lists. Although you know, the Islanders hopefully have gotten that straightened out, and we're gonna hopefully hear about a shovel going in the ground at Belmont, hopefully within the next month or so. But yeah, and here they are in the second round of the playoffs that, you know, nobody really expected them to be in at the start of the season. I mean, I remember you and I talking about an Islanders game that they played against the Hurricanes, the last game they played against the Hurricanes, which was on my birthday, actually, January 8th. And the Islanders lost, and they didn't play particularly well. And I remember being mad because, like, the Hurricanes looked like they were going to miss the playoffs for the 11th year in a row. They were not a particularly good team. And just sort of around that time, they started getting hot and stayed hot right up until the end of the season. And I mean, there's charts somewhere that I'm sure if you move the dates around, they have probably the most or second most points in the league in the second half of the season. And the Islanders were up there too. They were like fifth or sixth in at that pace as well. And so you end up with two teams that I joked, you know, are going to set NBCSN's ratings back to their Outdoor Life Network numbers, because nobody really expected these teams to be here. They're not marquee franchises. They're not teams that get a lot of play outside of their own markets, and in particular, and even inside of their own markets, they don't get a whole lot of play. But you know, it's kind of cool to see. But at the same time, it's like underdog versus underdog, and who is the most underdog, and what does that even mean at the end of the day? Probably not much, because they're both trying to win. So I mean, they don't really care who the underdog is.
I think it's
right?
The OLN thing. I could have stopped thinking about it. I basically started. My uncle, who works for NBC Sports, spoke to him during Leafs Bruins Game 6, and he was like, "He's like, yeah, this is like a Armageddon, basically. If, you know, to, you know, they needed Boston basically to win because of Canadian teams." But I was cracking him up with we were cracking up together just about like the Islanders and Hurricanes, and they have two very different kind of underdog paths to this point, where like the Hurricanes have been. You know, I fall into this camp. Like I've been waiting for this Hurricane team to kind of come good on their promise for years, and you know, I basically bet them to win the Stanley Cup once a year for half a dozen years now, and I always feel so all right, this is the year, and the Islanders and Hurricanes basically had the same odds coming into the year, which I never understood, mostly because I was like, the Hurricanes are just so much better than the Islanders. Like, it doesn't really make sense that they'd be in the same tier. And so I think it's like there's like the team that is fulfilling promise, and people are rooting for them, and they're rooting for this fan base, because you know, the Hurricanes fans are kind of similar to Islander fans. Like, it's a small, close-knit fan base. I mean, this is from what I can gather from, you know, 1200 1800 miles north of them. And you know, sure, like they've got a they end up with empty seats and stuff like that, but the people that do show up will show up through thick and thin, and they all seem like just like genuinely good fans, like very similar to the island, like very wounded animal-ish, and there's like some weird wavelength between the two fan bases. I think that being said, the perception of from the outside looking in on these fan bases at the moment, I just don't think could be much different.
Yeah, no, for sure. The wounded animal thing is for sure. I would say that both fan bases are very, very sensitive to sort of outside media, outside press. We're all very like, you know, whenever they play Canadian teams, everybody kind of gets their antenna up, because they know that they're, you know, it feels like people are feeling around, ready to pick the franchise up and move them to Quebec City or Hamilton or whatever. The fans down there are good fans, and like we've seen them. I mean, if you remember the 2006 Stanley Cup final, I've said this before, like ESPN, which had the NHL games at the time, made a big deal about, wow, look at all these Hurricanes fans tailgating before a hockey game. Wow, when have you ever seen that before? And I'm like, Islanders fans have been doing that for about two decades now, so I don't know why everybody's so surprised to see this. And that's not a thing on Hurricanes fans. They're smart enough, just like Islanders fans, to take advantage of a big parking lot and a day game and some nice weather in the springtime. So, you know, that's one thing that connects both of us as well. And, you know, the disrespect from a lot of corners as well. But yeah, right now, you know, it's definitely, you know, that's pretty much where the similarities stop, because it's the Islanders right now, and kind of a turnaround from the first series. They, as far as I would say the pundits go at NHL.com and ESPN, are kind of the favorite. You see people like, you know, all the NHL.com writers and the people at ESPN, like John Buchagras and Barry Melrose and whatever, and Wyshynski, picking the Islanders to win this series. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, that's terrible. I kind of hope that they would be the underdog again, because that's what they're kind of used to. But I would think that, and I hate to use this phrase, but I think, you know, if you took a sort of popular vote on social media, I think most people would probably be pulling for the Hurricanes. And like we've talked about before, like the Islanders just kind of missed the, you know, the underdog thing kind of came and went. Nobody's really been rooting for them but us. And it will be interesting to see how it turns out, you know, going forward, because I still think that only Islanders fans are rooting for this Islanders team. And mm-hmm. most people are probably behind the bigger underdog, which would be the Hurricanes, who are making their playoff debut for the first time in 10 years, which I guess is a bigger deal than losing your best player to free agency and then still coming out with a 103-point season. I don't know. I don't know. I'm articulating it correctly.
That's why I was bringing up the odds before. Like, these two teams started almost, you know, the betting market is so efficient. It is the best way to kind of judge probability of an outcome of a game and a season. And so these two teams basically started in the same spot and defied the same odds. And that's what I just find, you know, funny about this whole thing is that, you know, we clamor for stories like this in sports and whatever, and one is just treated so differently than the other, and whatever. Like, maybe Islander fans, like, we kind of like this. Like, there's maybe some, like, self-masochistic way or something that, like, we want. This is actually what we want or whatever. But it's just – it's the way that the Hurricanes are kind of being handled with kid gloves, and, like, it's almost like the Islanders are a, you know, 60th birthday party, whereas, like, you know, it's not great. And then the Hurricanes are like a first birthday party. Like, everyone's showing up, like, they're buying the baby some toys. It's just a huge celebration. While it's over at the Islanders, it's just like, you know, there's plastic plates and like penny a la vodka and nobody, you know, it's just like, everyone's just kind of like, oh, I've been through this or something. Like, I don't really want to be here, but I'm here because I have to be. And, I mean, it's funny. I really tried to justify it. I was nervous, like you were, seeing all those people pick the Islanders, and I tried to justify, well, you know, they got all the last round wrong, so maybe they're due. I don't know. But yeah, and then I think it would be an overwhelming people would be rooting for the Hurricanes if it was just a popular vote of the hockey universe. And I think a lot of the people that even pick the Islanders would say, you know, I'm rooting for the Hurricanes, but I'm picking the Islanders because I just, you know, don't really want to give any thought to this and don't want to deal with Islander fans dunking on me if this is another sweep or something.
That's the weird thing is that, I mean, I know for me personally, if the Islanders weren't in the playoffs or had lost in the last round, yeah, I'd totally be rooting for the Hurricanes. Absolutely. I think, you know, it'd be a cool story, but you know, right now I have to kind of switch gears and be like, no, wait, my team can win this. And that's not to say it's going to be easy. I mean, the same thing we said about the Penguins series. I think the Hurricanes are a little bit similar. Oh, but before I move on, I'm definitely nervous about a lot of people picking the Islanders to win the series. But if it makes you feel any better, Dom at The Athletic has the Hurricanes as the heavy favorite because of obviously all their impeccable Corsi numbers and the number of shots they take and that kind of thing. But if you haven't read his article, it's actually really good. He definitely kind of eats a little bit of crow about how he had, you know, kind of looked down upon the Islanders for so long. And I think I'm starting to feel a little bit bad because he definitely took a lot of grief on Twitter. I'm sure with his Twitter account was not a fun place to be for a long time. And I think he's kind of come around to them. That being said, his model still has the Hurricanes as being the favorite to win, but we'll see what happens. So that
I had a listener reach out. Justin, his name is, and we talked, and he said he had a decent discourse with Dom, like kind of back and forth. And I think his model is good at what it does and stuff. But like, I think he will make adjustments. Obviously, like modeling a good defensive team must be impossible. The betting market, as we spoke about earlier, took forever to kind of catch up to the Islanders, and that stuff is kind of what's baked into that cake. And I think he kind of, you know, fell in love with the kind of media, the media sword he could wield, you know, with a big readership. And I think he kind of joined that pool of writers for a little while. And hopefully he kind of sees like, oh, you know, maybe I should be a little bit less, you know, kind of arrogant or whatever you want to say it was, because his work is really good. And obviously Islander fans made his life hard, as you know, that's if you're in the business of, you know, making predictions, you're gonna take a lot of you get what you signed up for, is what I'm saying. But
those Athletic comment sections have been on fire lately, and we're going to talk a little bit about another section that's been on fire as well as in the second half of this podcast. But I think you're right. I think he kind of, you know, maybe it maybe made him look at things a little bit differently, and maybe kind of approach his messaging a little bit differently, I think is probably what kind of came up. But the Hurricanes, you know, they're, I think I, this is a little bit weird, but they are a little bit similar to the Penguins in the sense that they try and use speed. They try and you know, get some odd man rushes. They play with a pretty high pace style. But that being said, you know, there's a couple of big differences. One, the Penguins obviously have a bunch of all-world players on their team that, with all due respect, the Hurricanes do not have. But what the Hurricanes do have is a much faster and much more talented defense than the Penguins had, which the Islanders were able to exploit. Jack Johnson, I'm looking at you. The Hurricanes don't have a Jack Johnson. They have a bunch of good players, Calvin DeHaan, who we're all pretty familiar with, among them as well. And so I think that's probably what makes me the most nervous, is that, yeah, okay, you're not facing Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, but you're also not facing like Eric Gudbranson and Jack Johnson. And so, you know, I am confident, again, I'm going to say what I said, at, you know, in the beginning of the Penguin series, which is I'm confident in what Barry Trotz brings to the table and the way he's preparing his team for this. But this is not going to be an easy series. And I mean, in Newsday's predictions panel, I think everybody but Neil Best picked the Islanders to win. And Colin Stevenson, who normally covers the Rangers, picked the Islanders in five. And I was like, has he watched the Hurricanes play this year? Because they're pretty good. So that's a little bit crazy. I definitely think the Islanders can win it, but it's not going to be easy. And I don't think they're going to sweep, that's for sure. Although, I mean, nobody thought they would sweep the Penguins either. I just hope these in these 11 days off, Trotz is, and Lane Lambert and the rest of the crew have put together a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna need we obviously don't get to see behind the curtain with that, but you can rest assured that, you know, half the video staff and scouting staff was devoted to developing a plan for the Hurricanes, and the other half was, devoted to developing one for the Capitals, which they probably didn't even spend any time on because they had the whole team. But they'll know. They'll be prepared. That's the thing. Like this, these are adults in the room again. Like the Islanders are a professionally run organization for the first time since, you know, 1993 or 1994. And so this is, you can guarantee, you know, the one thing you can be certain of is that the players will have been prepared. The coaching staff will be prepared to, you know, devise a game plan, whether it's the right one or it gets executed is the, what they play the game for. And the thing, like, I guess I'm with you. I mean, that defense is, you know, top to bottom good. I think the Islanders kind of have a way of negating that, which is that they, outside of Matt Barzal, really, it's most of the forward lines. Priority number one is getting the puck deep and then getting on top of the defense, which is good. I mean, we saw the Washington Capitals have a lot of success playing physical against the Hurricanes defense. When the Capitals had their best moments, that's what they were doing. They were, you know, throwing the body around a little bit, and that's a kind of a style that lends itself to what the Islanders do, which is just basically work hard and compete harder and be persistent. So I'm terrified of a couple things. I'm terrified of that top line, which is just crazy skill that is bookended by Nino Niederreiter, who just, you know, that's just tough. Obviously, it's been a few years, but we're Islander. We know that he's going to have his way and score a couple goals at some point in the series, because that's just, you know, how these things kind of tend to shake out when you're playing a former player. And the other thing is, like, the Islanders game, this is hyperbolic and I'm 100% aware of that, but like game one is basically, it's a must win because they, the Hurricanes will come into that game on less than 48 hours removed from an emotionally draining series, their first playoff series win since 2009. And the Islanders have had just time off to get ready. And sure, like you can say, oh, rust versus rest. Like, we don't know who, you know, what will win. It's a weird, I think Carey in his article called it, it'll be a fun experiment to see, but there's no doubt in my mind that if you had asked every player and every person in the organization, what side of this coin would you rather be on? They would all say, I'd rather be the team that's well rested and had time off to prepare and mentally get ready. And that's why I think tomorrow, like, not only is it on home ice, but you are the team with the advantage, so they better just come out and win and take care of business tomorrow which I'm putting so much weight into the game, and I don't know if it's just because I'm like all I've had all this like feeling kind of just building since they haven't played it so long, but that's where I'm at for game one.
Yeah, no, I agree. You don't want to make game one. I mean, obviously the Hurricanes lost the first two games of their series against Caps and still came back to win it, but you don't want to put yourself in that position. And I don't think Barry Trotz would put his team in that position. And I feel like he's got the urgency cranked up. That being said, their people, the Blue Jackets and Bruins were playing tonight, and the Blue Jackets are in a similar situation, off for a long, long time. Bruins went seven games against the Leafs, and the first period, apparently the Blue Jackets had some trouble finding their legs, but it's in overtime right now, so everything is still up for grabs. And yeah, I would say that it's a must win. Game two is Sunday at 3:00. And again, the Hurricanes will have been in a hotel. They wouldn't have been home since game seven. So you hope that you can kind of catch them, off kilter a little bit. But I think the Islanders will play their game. I mean, they've had 11 days now to tighten their game, which was very successful for the most part against the Penguins. And that means playing physical, not being very dedicated, not getting, not letting anybody up off the puck too easily. Arthur Staple had an article today, and basically somebody was one of his sources, I forget, scout or coach or whatever, was like, if they can do that against Sidney Crosby, they can do that against these guys. And that's really easy to say, and I think we could all agree with that, but you still got to go out and do it. And these Hurricanes, they just don't want to go away. And, my fear is that, the Islanders have been kind of preaching this whole, we want to make the most of this time. We want to take advantage of this. We're here now, and we want to take it every game, one game at a time, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm assuming that the Hurricanes are probably thinking the same thing. Like, this organization went 10 years without going in the playoffs. Jordan Staal got traded there in, 2011 or something, right? And this is the first time he's been in a playoff game as a Hurricane. So, these opportunities don't come around that often, and you want to make the most of it. And I'm afraid that, when you have two organizations that are feeling the same way, who's going to win? Well, the Islanders have the rest and the home ice and everything kind of going in their favor. And you just hope that they can really, like you said, come out, take care of business.
Yeah. If they can just make life difficult on the Hurricanes just from the outset, I think that's just a big, big plus. That's honestly the only, I was shocked that the Capitals kind of hung. If you watch, I watched a lot of that series and you're like, wow, the whole time, I was just like, the Hurricanes just are playing so much better. And then the only time the Capitals really had those looked like they belonged in the series was when they did exactly that. They played more like the Islanders did against the Penguins and were just sticking guys into the wall and forcing mistakes by just making guys hesitate and think about, oh man, Alex Ovechkin or Tom Wilson are coming crashing down. So hopefully that fourth line is playing that role of just banging bodies all series long. And it's really a clash of styles, and there's so many similarities and so many differences. Most of the differences are on the ice or behind the bench, because you got a first year coach against a guy who is very long in the tooth in NHL years and has had a lot of success. Then the kind of loose goosey style that the Hurricanes play with, they're very up and down in tempo wise, and then. Even like, I know we say, sure, like Sebastian Aho and Toivo Teravainen and Nino Niederreiter and Dougie Hamilton, those aren't household names, but those are, top tier talent. Like the Islanders are much more middling in the talent department. So there's just so many, there's so many ways the series can unfold. I think we all know that the Hurricanes will likely be the ones doing kind of the shelling, if you will. I don't hope it's not as dramatic as a shelling, but like the Hurricanes, be ready to be sweating out a series where the Islanders are, kind of not, I don't want to say parking the bus, but the majority of the shot attempts will be coming at the Islanders, and we just need to be, prepared for that.
Oh yeah. There's going to be more than a few lopsided periods in this series, I'm sure. Real quick before we go to break, about Nino Niederreiter. Yeah. Yes. He obviously was an Islander, and obviously it didn't end pretty well. I feel like that whole thing is kind of water under the bridge at this point, mainly because as much as the Clutterbuck for Niederreiter trade didn't go over well, and there's still a lot to complain about with it, the Victor Rask for Niederreiter trade is probably, much, 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 much worse. I don't say probably. It is much, much worse. At this point, Rask was hurt, and even when he was healthy, he was not productive. At least, you know, Clutterbuck's a good player for what he is. He just isn't a top six forward like Lino Niederreiter is. So, but what he is he's very good. Victor Rask, I'm not quite sure what he is. But so I'm not too worried about that. I'm sure it'll come up, but as long as Jay Pandolfo and Marty Reisner aren't there, we probably don't have to worry about it. We're going to talk about another difference between these two teams and then a couple of other playoff stuff right after these messages. One of the big differences between these two teams, you know, is in goal. Peter Mrazek has started all the games for the Hurricanes. You may remember him from such teams as the Detroit Red Wings and the Philadelphia Flyers, whereas Robin Lehner started all four games of the previous series for the Islanders. He had a 950 save percentage, and just earlier this week was revealed as one of the finalists for the Vezina Trophy. This is kind of a huge difference, and we mentioned Dom's article in The Athletic before. That was the key difference, he said, between these two teams. And not that the Islanders need Leonard to steal a playoff series necessarily, because he didn't steal the playoff series against the Penguins. The Islanders played very well. But, you know, having the better goalie in a playoff series can change a lot. And Mrazek's numbers against the Capitals, yes, he won and he made a ton of saves, especially in Game 7, and he's been good. He's been a good goalie for a couple of years now. He wasn't anywhere near what Leonard was against the Penguins, nor has been what Leonard has been all season long. So this is another huge step for Leonard, and the fact that he was nominated for the Vezina Trophy, you know, it fills you with a lot of pride. We talked a lot about Leonard last week, so I don't want to repeat ourselves, but like, that's pretty awesome that this dude was signed for this bargain basement contract and ends up being a Vezina Trophy winner, Jennings Trophy winner, possible Masterton Trophy winner, playoff series winner, and now is like basically the guy in whose hands the Islanders have maybe a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that's an enormous swing for one season. Jeez, for one guy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was so amped when I saw him right after that game ended last night just tweet, you know, here we go.
Yeah, he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready. That's it. And that's it. Like, the Islanders are a team that is, you know, they've built this team back to front, and they play back to front in some ways. And that starts with Leonard. So he is the key cog in what should hopefully, you know, he is like their key component. And if they do come out on top, like, we'll be saying, at, you know, a week, 2 weeks from now, or that, you know, Robin Leonard once again was really good. And that was huge for the Islanders. The other thing I keep, you know, maybe glossing over is that the job Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock did against Sidney Crosby. And so if they can kind of handle that top line for the Hurricanes, things aren't as strong, obviously, down their roster in their middle six and bottom six. And if the Islanders can just limit opportunities and let Leonard do his thing, that's a recipe for success right there. And you can't anything else but having all the faith in the world in the guy with the way he's played and just kind of taking this island by storm. And we love him. So, you know, he's got to be playing with a lot of confidence and that, knowing that, you know, he's got the entire fan base behind him.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, I mean, it's been a very, very long time since the Islanders had a Vezina Trophy finalist on their roster, and I don't think any of us thought it would be this guy. But the funny thing is that if most Islanders fans that have been paying attention, if they were setting up a roster to play the Hurricanes, their first choice in goal would be Thomas Greiss. Now, I want to say right up front, I don't think Greiss is going to play any of these games, and if he does end up in one of these games, it probably means that Leonard's starts haven't gone quite as well as anybody had hoped. But Greiss's numbers against the Carolina Hurricanes have been outstanding, and I hope he's given Leonard some tips. But you know what's funny about Greiss is that he's the easiest going guy in the world, and, you know, Trotz has said a number of times, like, what I love about Greiser is you tell him he's in and he's like, okay. You tell him he's sitting, he's like, okay. Like, so he doesn't really care whether he's in or not. I don't think he's like stomping around the locker room going, I own these guys, I need to play them. I think everybody on this team wants the best for the team, and they're ready to do it. And it's funny to talk about all this stuff because they haven't played in 11 days. Like, that's just, I can't even, like, it almost feels like I have to remind myself what was going on, because it's been so long.
It's so weird. And that is a little scary, right? Like, because we're right. doing that, and we obsess over this team nonstop and the island. So obviously, like, there's some human element, like you were alluding to, that these guys now gotta remember how to play hockey the way they do. Yeah. And I mean, they're professional. They get paid millions of dollars to do it, so yeah. they better be able to. And the coaches
have been, you know, getting them doing like little scrimmages and hard practices. They practiced hard today and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, we'll see what but it's been a funny just stretch of days. My friend Jack texted me, just like, I haven't had to think about this team for 9 days. It's really weird to but it's because you know the last night when the Hurricanes won, it really became real again. Like the nerves started to become more evident, and the agita and the playoff like sweats and whatever, that all started to become much more real again as soon as overtime started and you knew it was coming to an end, like that series, which, you know, basically, sure, there's some people who wanted to play the Capitals and some people who wanted to play the Hurricanes to get home ice, but for it to go seven games and then two overtimes in seven games it really lined up nicely for us. So just getting that anxiety back inside your bones was a little weird after having that time off. It was almost like a whole off season.
Right.
Like 9 days.
No, for sure. Yeah. And cause I mean, you're just like, you're just wondering what's going on back there. I mean, the Islanders don't, and it's funny too, because again, like the Blue Jackets had the same kind of time off, but they had like an open practice. They were like running full scrimmages with like the whole team playing each other and going for 60 minutes. And apparently somebody asked Barry Trotz, you know, if they would do the same thing. And he was like, no, thank you. He was not into that. But of course the Islanders aren't going to have an open practice in the middle of the playoffs. That's not what Lou Lamoriello is all about. So there was a kind of this cone of silence came down. And I mean, they talked to some players and they talked to some coach, you know, Trotz basically. And again, they all answer the same questions over and over again. So yeah, it's this very weird feeling. I don't, we've never experienced this before as a franchise and I just don't know what to do. But yeah, I mean, we have to think about this team again. I mean, everybody's lives kind of went on and now we've got to fall back in. I'm sure we all will, but it is definitely a very strange situation. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to preview because there's so many X factors and so many weird things going on and two different teams with two different play styles coming off of two completely different series and two completely different seasons after two completely different off seasons. It's very weird. We make fun of people for predicting and whatnot, but yeah, if you have to make a prediction, I don't even know. Like, I don't even want to make a prediction. Again, this is going to post the night of the game, so I don't want to make it immediately obsolete, but it's a very weird series. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a series like this between any two teams that involves so many weird X factors, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the biggest one, I think, being the rest and rust and the fact that, yeah, the Hurricanes now, so they less than 48 hours and play game one, and then less than, you know, 48 hours from game one, they play game two because it's a 3 o'clock matinee. So you're like, they'll be playing a lot of hockey in a very short amount of time. And by the end of it, like, I don't know how the Hurricanes fans are basically had to take today to, I'm sure they're like, all right, by noon, I got to be done with the Capitals and celebrating and thinking about how starting to hate the Islanders. Like, and so the players had to do the same thing. I mean, it's all about Brendan Moore's like thing in the same way that the Capitals, I mean, the Hurricanes have become like this, like, oh, like this cute little thing. Like, if they posted a bunch of videos in the locker room, which is cool and stuff, but people like just going nuts that Rod Brindamore gave this like speech. I don't even he didn't really say much. He just said like, we're gonna enjoy this, and then, you know, we're not done, but we're gonna enjoy this. And Justin Williams was happy, so that was, you know, a big deal, and like was basically put on a billboard. But yeah, like you saw, like they went from just being so emotionally high to, and after that series, to having to go to bed, celebrate, go to bed, and then get ready. And the Islanders were so even keeled after their sweep. Like, it was, I mean, fan base, obviously, we were going nuts, and we knew we had 9 days to or not 9 days, but we knew we had a long time to relish it. But the even like that is like,
right,
they got here different ways. Like, the Islanders just kept a very, very even keel. Barry Trotz in a way. The Hurricanes were obviously in party mode. And then tomorrow when the puck drops, it's a whole new like movie, basically.
Yep. it's another game won, in the words of Barry Trotz. So let's talk about a couple of the other playoff series. The breaking news, by the way, the Bruins have gone up 1-0 in their series with the Blue Jackets. They just won in overtime. Charlie Coyle, second goal of the game. The Blue Jackets, they were not the team in control for the most part of that game. But, you know, you got to think that they're going to come back and probably try and take game two, which would be a huge victory for them. However, the Bruins got there by beating, yes, the Toronto Maple Leafs in seven games. That game seven was not close. It finished, I believe, 5-1 was the final score. The Leafs, the Bruins, I said, took a 2-0 lead in the first period. The Leafs made a 2-1 with a goal by John Tavares, but that was about the only life they had. And there's a GIF floating around of a bunch of Leafs fans in Maple Leaf Square. And I guess once one of the empty net goals went in, they all kind of got deflated at the same exact time and just left. And it's glorious. you know, I can't sit here and be like, you know, oh, we shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't matter to us. I know it for a fact it matters to us. And I know
it matters a lot.
It matters a lot. Absolutely. And I think it matters to Islanders players that they made it further than the guy who left. And, you know, is that going to be forever? Is this going to happen next year? I don't care. I'm just talking about right now. And for right now, it feels pretty damn good to see that happen. And, you know, for the Islanders to be playing and for the Leafs to not be playing. And somebody asked Tavares today, like, if, you know, what he thought about it. And he gave the most, you know, typical canned John Tavares robot answer ever. And, you know, I don't think nobody's going to expect him to be like, well, I kind of regret signing here now because that's stupid. But, you know, he was at like their Anders Lee's wedding this summer. I'm sure he still talks to most of the guys on the team, although probably not Barzal for obvious reasons that we've talked about before. I'm sure he's going to watch and be a little bit stung that his old team is moving on, provided they, you know, play pretty well in the second round. But I mean, that was, if you had scripted out the way this season was going to play out, the Leafs losing in the playoffs would definitely have been on that list. And for it to have actually happened, it feels pretty damn good. Like the storybook continues, basically.
Yeah, exactly. The storybook continues. It was awesome. So Sunday, they played game. That was the Sunday at 3:00, game six. And when Morgan Riley scored that goal that put the Leafs up 1-0, I was just dreading. I was like, oh god, they're gonna run away with this game, and we're just gonna hear how the Maple Leafs are gonna be the Stanley Cup favorite. Then they have, you know, my friends can attest to this. As soon as the Blue Jackets went up 2-0, I got nervous. I was like, oh my god, like, the Maple Leafs are gonna beat the Bruins, and they're gonna have the Blue Jackets, and this is not good, because we'll see them in Eastern Conference Final, and there was really only one possible way that this season could really have turned sour. And that was if the Maple Leafs beat the Islanders in the Eastern Conference Finals. So I know people were saying, oh, you know, the Bruins are the better team or whatever. We don't want to play them if you're playing in the Eastern Conference Final. If the Islanders are in the Eastern Conference Final, like, same thing I said last week, I don't care who they're playing. They could be playing the Soviets. They could be playing whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter. You're in the Eastern Conference Final. You're going to play a really good team, and you're just going to enjoy it. But when you know, I was obviously super excited when the Bruins finally, you know, finished them off. And my fiance, she's from Massachusetts and is a Bruins fan, so she was really proud to be able to will the Bruins to that victory too. And she knows how much, you know, it meant to me.
Islanders Nation thanks her. Let's just let her know that.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's like it's funny now, because you're sure we're terrified of playing the Bruins because they're great. So you go. The Islanders weirdly were playing two first round series, or the Islander country, and we now have to adjust to, you know, rooting against them basically and rooting for the Blue Jackets. But the best part of that whole experience for me was after the game, someone went up to you know, basically Mitch Marner talked about how terrible he felt, and Austin Matthews, and everybody was giving these kind of emotional answers, and then you get to Tavares. Whose celebration of that first goal, my friend Dylan put it perfectly. He said he looked like he celebrated a goal to make it like 3-1 with like 30 seconds left and the Leafs net was empty. There was like nothing to it. I was really confused by it. But his answer was basically, this is my 10th year in the league. So, you know, I I know like these chances basically aren't going to come around more, but just to hear, I'm like, yeah, that it is. I was like a little jarred. I was like, it is his 10th year in the league. Like, he's getting up there. Like that really felt good to hear. Like, he's got to come to grips. Like, nobody knows that John Tavares, like, for sure, for all his shortcomings and the fact that he kind of, he betrayed us and kind of just screwed the franchise over almost. We knew how hard he worked and how much he cares about hockey. So, you know, I took a lot of solace in knowing that he poured his blood, sweat, and tears into his first season with the Maple Leafs and came away with nothing.
I saw that, and I agree with you. I was taken aback by it as well. And what made me, what I thought of, and when I thought of this too, when I saw him score that goal and his very, very, very subdued celebration, was it reminded me of what Rob Schremp had said on our friends Nolan Dan's Isles Buzz podcast, which is that he's, you know, kind of like the I did my job superstar. And like Schremp, you know, was careful to not mean that in like necessarily a bad way, but I got the sense that he was like, you know, I got a goal. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. You
yeah,
know,
I won't have to.
I did my thing.
It was probably like a relief because he was starting to get a little flack that he hadn't produced a little bit. It was.
Yeah, he had one empty net goal.
But it was funny because depending on if the Leafs won or lost, it was either John Tavares is doing an amazing job doing his role, you know, shutting down the Bergeron line, or if they lost, it was John Tavares needs to start scoring or whatever. And so I think that's kind of was my hypothesis. And we're probably getting a little too deep into his brain to think, but I was like, he probably thought like, oh, thank God, at least even if we lose, like, I'd have to deal with not showing up to game seven.
Yeah, no, that's, and no, I think you're 100% right. And if you have read any of the stories that came out afterwards, you know, that's kind of what it's been. Mike Babcock has taken the lion's share of the grief, and so Jake Gardner has as well, and Austin Matthews a little bit too. He didn't really have a great game seven. But yeah, it looks like Tavares is going to kind of skate on it. But after his really, really good regular season and then, you know, two goal performance one goal performance in game seven, that kind of gets him off the hook. But yeah, I didn't want to go this long on it. But, you know, I agree with you. The way you put it makes perfect sense, whereas like, it was kind of a secondary series for Islanders fans in particular. And I actually tweeted this out. Sam over at Faxes from Uncle Dale, the great Blackhawks blog, he put the Leafs thing too, whereas like they want to be the pre-2004 Red Sox. They want to be the kind of lovable losers that everybody is really hoping can get one of these days. But they also want to be the Lakers, where they got to get everything they want all the time. And if they want to go sign LeBron James, they can. And it doesn't really work that way. You're like, you know, you have to be the evil empire and embrace it, or you're the lovable losers and understand you're going to lose. That's how it works, you know? I mean, and Sam's a Cubs fan, so believe me, he knows lovable losing like anybody else. So, yeah, it was pretty interesting. And, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, I know, again, we've talked about this a million times already, but lots of people moved on as of July 1st. Like, they were done. It was like, okay, we're moving on now. But you cannot have felt some kind of elation when you saw the final score of that Leafs-Bruins series. And you know what's funny is for the Hurricanes, Bill Peters walked away from coaching them and went to sign with Calgary because he's like a, you know, Alberta guy and he wanted to, you know, finally coach like a talented team. And guess what? The Flames only lasted five games and they're home too. So I wonder if Hurricanes fans are probably thinking the same thing about Bill Peters that we're thinking about John Tavares. Let's see what else. So the Stars beat the Predators, which was pretty wild. I don't know if anybody necessarily saw that coming. The Predators didn't have a great season, but I think we all kind of figured they would kind of find their legs in the playoffs. They did not, and the Stars look pretty damn good, I tell you. As do the St. Louis Blues, who they're playing right now, and our friends Brendan Burke and AJ Molesko are on the call there for NBCSN, so you should check that out. Like I said, the Bruins and Blue Jackets are playing, and then the other series is the Sharks and Avalanche. The Avalanche beat the Flames in five games. The Avalanche can be terrifying. It's crazy. Yeah,
talk about OLN, right? Like, I can see the Sharks Avalanche game from 2007. Like, I could see what it would look like. I could 10 o'clock on OLN.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
I could see
David Abishuri goal, and it's just like I can picture that series, and so it's just. Good God.
I was going to say Adam Deadmarsh, but I like David Abishur better.
Yeah, we got Deadmarsh. Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a great one. Yeah, it'd be David Abishur versus Oh, Evgeny Nabokov. Yeah, there you go. So yeah. Evgeny Nabokov versus David Asher. Yeah, late 90s, or I guess early 2000s Avalanche Sharks game on OLN for sure. I am honest. I went to sleep when it was 2-0 Vegas in game seven. I thought to myself, you know, yeah, it's 2-0. The Sharks haven't played poorly, but, you know, Vegas isn't going to blow this. And I woke up and I saw Dom's tweet actually saying, wow, Sharks, Islanders, Stars, and Bruins all in the second round. You know, that's the Tavares, tour from the summer. And I was like, wait, Sharks? What the hell is he talking about? And I went back and looked and I was like, oh my God, the one that that's one of the craziest things I think that's ever happened.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to go to bed. Ray Ferraro was talking about. He was doing the color, started talking about, he's like, we're definitely going to hear about an injury, but like Erik Karlsson is injured because he just hasn't looked good. And then they, you know, that penalty call, which was definitely not good. just, I guess, leave it at that. But as soon as that penalty was called, Erik Karlsson looked like the best hockey player I've ever seen. He just was everywhere, and him and Couture and Tomas Hertl, like, and the funniest part of that game to me was not the goals or whatever. It was after the Sharks scored their second goal, like, we talk about parties at the Coliseum, it was party mode in the Shark Tank. Like, the players started like doing full laps around the ice and like pumping the crowd up. It was the weirdest thing I've ever, it was like a Harlem Globetrotters
game. That's true. Yeah, it was almost like a shooting gallery at that point. Like, you know, all of a sudden we've replaced the Vegas Golden Knights with a Mites on Ice team from El Segundo. Well, let's see what happens, you know, and all of a sudden, what the hell? If you're an Islanders fan, you're like, wait a minute, didn't I see this game before? Yeah, that Islanders Red Wings game from a couple of years ago was one of the craziest things ever, or like last season, I should say. But, like, the stakes were way lower for that. Two bad teams at the end of the season. You know, that's just kind of like, well, that's what happens when you're one bad team playing another bad team, weird stuff happens. Well, these were not two bad teams. This was a playoff game between two very good teams, one of which was in the Cup Finals last year. One was in the Cup Finals 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And that was pretty wild. And it's funny, like, you know, now Vegas, that penalty call was bad. I didn't realize that Pavelski, I saw the replay afterwards. I didn't realize Pavelski was bleeding. But when I saw the penalty, I'm like, what is that? I mean, doesn't it happen like 40 or 50 times every game whenever there's a face-off? But he got hurt. Hopefully he's okay. But to get a 5-minute major out of that was, I don't know. But, you know, the Vegas owner has complained, the George McPhee has complained, and the NHL is all, the referees have apologized. And, you know, when you spend $600 million on a franchise, you don't expect to get screwed out of a call in a playoff. So somebody's going to be pissed off, and I expect there to be changes because Bill Foley wants changes. But anyway, that's going to be an interesting series too, the Sharks and Avalanche. I mean, two teams that aren't really known for playing defense, but if you like 90s hockey, there you go. It's going to be a lot of fun. Should be pretty cool. So that's about it. Game one of Islanders and Hurricanes is Friday night. Enjoy if you're going to the Bark. Have a good time. Bring your friends. Pack the place. Make it nice and loud. Should be a good time. You're going to be there, right? So there you go.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think I'm in 211 or something like that. I've been proud of the way the Islander fan base has kind of handled the, you know, switch in venues. I must say, like, it's sure it was like annoying when it first came out, and, you know, people who aren't as tuned in as a lot of us are and as vested are like, oh, it sucks that they're, you know, playing at the Barclays, and I'm just like, you can stop that sentence. It doesn't suck that they're playing at all. Like, the Islanders are in the second round of the playoffs. This is amazing. So the atmosphere will be the same, the people will be the same. The only difference will be that there will be a SUV in the building.
Yeah, I don't think people, I mean, the schlep has always been the big thing, but you know what, for a playoff game in the second round, I think people are going to make that schlep.
I think, like, I can't really remember. I'm trying to think about the Panther series and the Lightning series, like, coming home. I obviously didn't win one at home against the Lightning, but I'm sure, like, the train ride home, if the Islanders can, you know, win a game or two here, like, that'll be a lot of fun, like, especially on a Friday night. So tomorrow, hopefully tomorrow is awesome, and that's it. And, you know, if, like, we catch the Hurricanes still thinking and celebrating their first series win since 2009, well, the Islanders are strictly in, and still in. We've been here before, even though we have never been here before, and we'll be hearing mode.
Yeah, right. I saw a weird stat, by the way. It was like playoff series one since 1999, and it was, the Sharks were number one. The Islanders had two, obviously, but the Hurricanes had 10. And that's really weird considering they missed the playoffs for a decade. And that's because in 2002, they went to the Stanley Cup final. In 2006, they went to the Stanley Cup final. In 2009, they went to the Eastern Conference final, and now they've won this. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, okay, you took 10 years off, but you still won like 10 playoff
rounds. And they're, so it's of the eight teams left, it's the Bruins have the most recent cup in 2011, and then it's the Hurricanes.
Yeah, basically. It's basically, yeah. And then it's a bunch of, or I guess.
Yeah, I think it's like the Stars and the Avalanche, then like the Islanders, and then the other three teams have never won. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a cool crew. It's nice.
A really funny crew. It is like a bunch of, it's like when you go to a party or something and maybe like stay later than your friends or whatever, and a bunch of other people do that same thing, and all of a sudden you're like, this is my crew for the night. That's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's sort of like when you, if you've ever played like NHL 94 or NHL 95 and you do like you choose the playoffs, like the playoff mode, and it always picks like random teams, and you're always like, how the hell did these guys get in here? Like, it's sort of like that. You're like, okay, well, I guess I'm playing these guys. It kind of feels a little bit like that. So yeah, it's nice though. It's not, I mean, the ratings are going to suck, and my condolences to your uncle who works for NBCSN and their bad ratings for this year, but hey, you never know.
I'm not too worried about it. Next year, the NHL will set up like a grandfather clause where at least one of the original six teams needs to be in the final bus where you have to play them in the Stanley Cup, no matter what.
They're going to set up just a division of original six teams so that one of them guarantees.
Yeah, or there'll just be like an exhibition game like next week between the Blackhawks and Flyers or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to get the Flyers in there. That's the home team for NBC. So, we'll just kind of again sit back, enjoy the ride. So game one is Friday, game two is Sunday. As I mentioned on Twitter, I have tickets to see Avengers Endgame. If you're surprised that I'm going to see the movie instead of watching the game, you haven't been listening to this podcast very long. The game is important, but I've basically been waiting for this movie and preparing for this movie for my entire life. My wife and daughter are obviously coming with me, so I am not going to miss that movie. I'm very sorry. I can catch the game later and find out all I need to know when the movie's over. They then have 2 days off, and then game three is in Raleigh on Wednesday, and then game four is Friday. Cher, the incomparable, the one and only Cher, is going to be at Barclays Center on Friday. My wife is going to be there. She has tickets to go. She loves Cher. Wow. We saw Cher in Baltimore. Her and I drove to Baltimore last year to see Cher. Cher is great. We saw the Cher show on Broadway. My wife loves Cher. So the Islanders had to rejigger their schedule a little bit. Oh, there's a Liberty game too. There's a Liberty game against the Chinese national team too. That's also a center. So there's stuff going on. It's a busy place. So that's why there's a couple of days off there.
It's so funny that it's like, it's Cher. Like this just, it's just perfect that it's Cher. That was when my friend found out, he's like, when this was a couple of days ago, so before we even had the matchup, he's like, well, he's like, he's got like a bachelor party or something he's going to, and he's trying to figure out when they're playing. And he's like, I'm pretty sure if we play the Capitals, it'll go like this. And then if it's the Hurricanes, we'll go like this. But the one thing I can't account for is the Cher thing. It's like a real, it's throwing a wrench in the system.
Oh man.
He's like, you can move whatever it was called.
Paw Patrol, PJ Masks. Yeah.
PJ Masks, but can you move Cher? I don't think so.
No, trust me, you don't want to move Cher, believe me. I said the same exact thing to my wife. I was like, yeah, PJ Masks, they were able to postpone, but yeah, no, Cher ain't going anywhere. And actually, I think Bruce Cassidy mentioned Cher in his I think pregame thing today at the Bruins. So I wonder if she just happens to be sort of in this area just at the end time of the NHL playoffs. She just happens to be in like Boston and Brooklyn. And I mean, hell, she might be in Raleigh by the time the Islanders get back down there. You never know. So maybe she'll be in Columbus. Who knows? But so there you go. So don't mess with Cher. You schedule around Cher. Cher does not schedule around you. So that's kind of rule to live by. And then I forget where they go after that. But so there's a couple of days off. So the Hurricanes, you know, they want to get to that 2 day break so they can actually, you know, sleep in their own beds. But hopefully they'll be nice and distracted before they get to that point. Okay, so let's finish up real quick. So sneakyathletic.com, Get 10% off your order if you put anxiety in the discount code box. They got the GOAT stuff. They got the Fort Never Lose stuff. It's time to turn Barclays Center into Fort Never Lose 2. So buy your stuff there. SneakyAthletic.com. Put anxiety in the discount code box, and you can save 10%. This week's, it's back. NHLNames.com. NHL Name of the Week is...
It's a battle with Jordan Martinook.
Jordan Martinook. You may remember him from the Phoenix Coyotes. Somehow he ended up on the Carolina Hurricanes. He's here. He's playing pretty well, so... There you go. There's a guy to cut.
I thought it was going to be that their fourth liner. I think he wears number 8 now. It's like Manica Lyonen or something.
Yeah,
that is, he's not on the list. Real so. Guy.
Yeah, I wondered what he was, but we'll have to wait and see. So John Forslund is calling the game for NBCSN. Yeah. He gets the Brendan Burke seal of approval, so you know don't.
He's fun to listen to, but he's sticky.
Yeah,
but. Hey, whatever. Like,
but he's
it doesn't matter.
He's the Hurricanes' home guy, so
yeah, yeah. I knew that was going to be a little prickly, and probably maybe not the greatest decision by NBC to have either one of those two guys call.
Yeah, right.
You know, this Where's series, Gordon like, Miller you know, there's other, yeah, there's just other people that you could get to do it, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. But he's good. So we'll find out what's going on there, and just lay off him on Twitter. You know, I think that's what Brendan was trying to tell us.
At least they didn't stick Mike Milbury in for the color. He's been sticking with the Bruins, which is another hysterical thing.
We don't need him. Thank you very much. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up to date Islanders news and discussion. You should listen to Isles Buzz at Lighthouse Hockey's podcast feed. I'm sure Dan and Noel have some cool stuff. You should follow Mike at his Twitter handle, which is
The Big Lebowski with 2 E's.
The Big Lebowski. Yeah, sorry, I did it. I threw you off there with a little bit of a different intro. The Big Lebowski with 2 E's. He's great. You should follow him there. And I loved your response to John Tavares right after the Leafs lost. I won't spoil it for anybody. You should go check it out. It won't be hard to find if you look at Mike's feed, I promise you. So there you go. So let's enjoy the second round. The Islanders don't get here very often, but this should be fun. It should be a fun, really unique series. Let's put it that way. You know, we'll see what happens.
That's it. Let's go Islanders.
Yep. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll be back with you. I guess probably Monday or Tuesday after games 1 and 2. We'll take stock of where we are, right? And we'll figure that out. We'll see how the series started. All right. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye bye. Just like Jesse James.